I'm Marty Moscoe, and welcome to Radio Times. The last time Philadelphia hosted a party convention was in 2000, when the Republicans came to town and chose George W. Bush to be their presidential candidate. The city was severely criticized for its treatment of protesters. Hundreds were arrested, including a group of puppeteers in West Philadelphia. Well, the Democrats are coming for their convention the last week in July, and the city is vowing to do better. Here's Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney on Radio Times on June 30th.
Our goal is to arrest no one. We recognize the First Amendment is sacrosanct in this country, and you have a right to express your opinion as loud and as long as you like. We would like you to get a permit so we know where you're going to be, and we can provide for porta-potties and misting tents and things because it may be hot, and to make sure that everybody's safe and we can secure the area well. People have threatened that they're going to protest without a permit. That's fine. I mean, we're not going to arrest
them. Not a big deal?
No. Again, our preference is that you would tell us where you want to go, how big it's going to be potentially, and what are your needs, and we'll be happy to help you with those. And if you protest without a permit, we're not going to arrest you either. I mean, it's
you're going to fine them?
Well, we decriminalized a lot of the former criminal penalties that were for failure to disperse and public drunkenness and public urination and those kinds of things are all now civil fines, and they're not criminal. We're not going to arrest you for that. Look, we just want everybody to express themselves, enjoy themselves, feel part of something, whether you're protesting something or you're supporting something. Do it here. Do it safely. Our only rules are you can't destroy property and you can't hurt anybody.
The Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign filed a complaint in federal court to get a permit to march on Monday, July 25th, leaving from City Hall at 3 to the Wachovia Center in South Philadelphia, where the DNC is being held. The city did agree after first denying the permit. In this hour of Radio Times, protesting the DNC, and we have three guests, two of whom join us here in our Philadelphia studio. Sherry Honkla is the national coordinator for the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign. And Sherry, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times. It's been a while.
Good to be here.
Nice to have you here. Yanni Indigo is with us as well. She's an artist and activist, spokesperson for Bernie or Bust and the DC to DNC March, also founder of Deep Blue Women Company. And Yanni Indigo, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Nice to have you here. And joining us by telephone is Jody Dodd, legal support activist with Up Against the Law Legal Collective. And Jody, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Thank you. Glad to be here, too.
Nice to have you with us. Sherry, I interviewed you back in 2000 when you were protesting the Republicans and their convention here in Philadelphia. Do you have any different message for the Democrats this year?
No. Democrats, Republicans, they're both the same. PepsiCo, corporate America, same message for both of them. Neither of those parties give a damn if people have a place to sleep, whether or not we go to war, if we deport people, if people have running water. All of the various different basic necessities of life don't really matter. What really matters to them is corporate money and following corporations' plans for this country.
And is that the message of your group to the DNC?
Yeah, actually, the thing that's very different this time around is our march is not just a march against poverty, hunger, and homelessness and right to water and stopping racism in this country and mass incarceration. Our march is now really about has turned into a symbol for political independence in this country. And that's why I'm hoping that people are going to be brave. They're going to join hands with us and say, this is enough. We're tired of Pepsi and Coke. Maybe it's time for orange juice.
I will pick up on that. Let me get you in on the conversation, talking about what you hope to do, Yanni Indigo, as a spokesperson for Bernie or Bust. What do you hope to accomplish in Philadelphia?
So, I am the spokesperson for Bernie or Bust. I'm the spokesperson for the DC to the DNC march. And I'm also an individual activist. And so as it relates to the Bernie or Bust goal, we really wish to this election has been such a farce. And we know that It's a fundamental right that every person's vote counts and that everyone gets to participate in this process that's called a democratic process. And many people were not allowed to participate, and many of the votes were suppressed, or many votes were not counted. And so we don't believe that the current results as they're being reported are accurate. And we don't believe that Hillary Clinton deserves the nomination. And we want to make sure that it's clear to the Democratic Party that there are enough people who really understand what's been going on, that the Democrats are going to lose the White House, will be at a huge risk of losing the White House in November if they continue to block Bernie Sanders' nomination. And so we want to make sure that they get that message and hope that they figure out how to actually rebalance things so that the person who the majority of people have desired and wanted and elected as their nominee actually is the person who becomes the nominee.
You're saying the results of the Democratic nomination process are illegal?
Yeah, that's why there are so many lawsuits that are going out. I mean, I was not in Arizona. I was not in Nevada, but I was in California. I was in California where people who I worked with who were highly informed and highly engaged in the process were then on their way to the polls and were not able to cast their votes for various reasons. One of my friends, it took him 5 hours to cast his vote. This was an individual who registered. He changed his registration in order to be able to vote in the primary. He was very careful about how he did it, and he knew what he was doing. And when he showed up at the polling place, they claimed that he was registered as vote by mail and therefore could not submit a regular ballot. By the time when he went to the county office, he was registered as a vote in person. But for some reason, when he's there at his polling place, it's not listed. Another one of my friends went to cast his vote. He had his mail-in ballot. You were allowed to deposit that in person. When he got there, they said that he couldn't deposit his ballot because he wasn't on the rolls. The rolls were printed May 3rd, and the voter registration didn't end until May 23rd. So everyone who was actually who registered to vote after May 3rd was not on the rolls. So for there to be more ballots that had to be counted that were provisional ballots than there were actual in-mail ballots, it's just absolutely ridiculous. And those are just two small examples.
Well, Sherry, let me go back to you, and then I don't want to play a clip of Bernie Sanders as endorsing Hillary Clinton, which he did on Tuesday. Do you also question the results of the Democratic nomination process?
Well, let's see. During 2012, Dr. Jill Stein and I were handcuffed for 9 hours during the presidential debates so that media couldn't interview us. And we learned that the people that control the presidential debates are 10 corporations. Yes, we do not believe in this process. There's an illusion of democracy. I was an election monitor in El Salvador, and what I saw in El Salvador, if people saw what I see every day for the last 20 years in this country when it comes to elections, it would make that look like a picnic.
Well, let me play a clip of Bernie Sanders. And again, this was earlier this week at an event in New Hampshire where he did endorse Hillary Clinton.
Secretary Clinton has won the Democratic nominating process. And I congratulate her for that. She will be the Democratic nominee for president. And I intend to do everything I can to make certain she will be the next president of the United States.
Yanni, did your candidate abandon you?
Well, you know, Bernie Sanders is one person who is working within a machine that applies a lot of pressure, makes a lot of demands, that you do things whether it's what you really feel is what you want to do, or what you really believe in. My understanding is that he was required to give an endorsement in order to be able to even have a significant role in the convention.
But do you think he would have, based on the year that he spent campaigning for the nomination, do you think he would have knuckled under at the last minute?
Well, I know that there was a man who recently had a barbell fall on his throat. who was about to testify against Hillary Clinton. I know that there was another person who was on staff who was recently randomly murdered, who was investigating election fraud. I don't think that we're in an environment where, you know, people have the ability to always just make decisions and make choices, and be fearless without feeling like they're putting their lives or their family's lives on the line.
You're saying the Democratic Party is killing people?
You know, I think that, well, we know that the Democratic Party is killing people because it's the Democratic Party that, as well as the Republican Party, to Sherry's point, who go into these wars, who starve people through the legislation that lowers the amount of resources that go to poor people. I mean, you know, there's it's a word in one hand, you know, whatever that saying is. You know, there are various ways that people's lives are put in jeopardy, you know, and we've seen evidence of that. And sometimes we justify it because we think of it as when we look at state issues, we see them as being something that's different than individual kind of issues. But yeah, I do think that I can tell you that I felt very much less safe after I did that appearance on CNN and then I did, you know, in my life before.
Did anyone
that.
Threaten you after
no,
that?
No, no one threatened me. And I will be clear about that. But I do recognize that there's a particular climate in our country, and that the political reality is that it's kind of a gangster kind of reality.
Well, Jody, let me get you in on the conversation. I don't mean to ignore you. I know you've been listening in by telephone. I'd just be curious about your comments about the upcoming DNC, and if you share some of Yane's and Sherry's thoughts about the convention and the Democratic Party.
Hi
there.
So my what I'm focusing on for the DNC is not the legal collective isn't focusing in on the policy or the positions of activists. What we're focusing in on is in the event that people are arrested or detained, we're focusing in on providing help and assistance for folks. So the collective doesn't really take a role in the organizing or in the position that people are taking, although we support the fact that people have the right to be on the streets, to express their concerns, to speak out, to have a right to the access of those power brokers to visibly and publicly express whatever those concerns are. So in that sense, we absolutely support the right of Sherry and Yane and others to be on the streets and express those concerns.
Well, let's take hold on, only because we have to take a very short break and then we'll get back to our conversation. We are talking about protesting the DNC. As we all know, the Democrats coming to Philadelphia at the end of this month for their party convention. And again, our guests are Jody Dodd, the voice you just heard, legal support activist with Up Against the Law Legal Collective. Yane Indigo is an activist, an artist, spokesperson for Bernie or Bus and the DC to DNC March. And Sherry Honkel, a national coordinator for the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign. 1-888-477-9499. That's the phone number to call to join the conversation. Much more after this short break. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen, talking with Jody Dodd, Yane Indigo, and Sherry Honkela about the upcoming protests at the upcoming Democratic National Convention being held here in Philadelphia at the end of July. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy to whyy.org to join the conversation. And you can also tweet us at WHYY Radio Times, and we've got calls coming in at 1-888-477-9499. Hold on one second. Jody, I just want to go back to you, and even going back to 2000 when the Republicans came to town for their convention. A lot of people got arrested. I included that in my introduction this morning. Do you think things are different with this different police commissioner, Commissioner Ross, and a new mayor, Mayor Kenney?
You know, I don't know. What I know is I was here in 2000 and was a part of the legal support team back then. At that time, it was called the R2K Legal Collective. which I was a member. And I remember I was actually did an interview with Tumney at the time on CNN where he was quoting Martin Luther King. And I know that the mayor Street at that time was stating that, oh, we are, you know, if we arrest people, they'll just be given summary citations and released. And we all know that that's not what happened.
So you're saying because the Mayor Kenney has said there would be citations. He didn't want people arrested. Are you questioning
right.
that?
Well, here's the thing that we know already. From the people who were arrested last week for as a part of the Black Lives Matter protests, they were in my mind, and the lawyers are looking into this, there's a conundrum because the civil citations on any given day that are given out in Philadelphia for these what are called nuisance events, people are not taken into custody and given those things. They're given those citations on the street.
Right.
There is a pre-marked amount of fines, 75, 50, 50, 75, 100, or 150. Those are pre-printed on those citations. What we're seeing is happening already with the folks that were arrested, and to me this is the indication and the tension, is people were in fact taken into custody. They were taken to the police station. And then they were given these civil citations. Now, they were not booked. In other words, they didn't take their fingerprints and they didn't take their photograph, but they were given the civil citations, and the police are handwriting in $300 on these citations, which is not what the ordinance stated the fine would be. The process for this is that people have 15 days to mail this thing in with a there's a box you can check saying if you're going to challenge it. But because this is a brand new process, we have not had the opportunity to see the ways in which we're going to challenge this, because there's two things in my mind that should be challenged about the civil. One, you're either under arrest or you're not. And they are arrested. They are, in fact, arresting people. They are taking them into custody. They are not free to leave. So they are under arrest. And two, this handwriting in this $300 fine, when do the police get to decide what the amount of the fine? You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
There's problems with that. So that should be challenged. How they're going to handle this, honestly, my position is they're going to do what they're going to do. The legal support team, the lawyers, the legal collective, we're going to do what we can to make sure that if people are taken into custody, we can find out where they've been taken. We can find out what happened. Are they given the civil citation? Or are they being put through the criminal system? And we think we need to be prepared for both.
Well, you know what, Jody, I do want to go back to, but I also want to go back to Sherry Honkler, who I began the conversation with. How close do you want to get to the Wachovia Center, to where the DNC is? I know that at the park down there, that's the kind of protest site. Does that get you close enough to the action, so to speak?
Of course not. We, as my 13-year-old son Guillermo says, we now live in a gated community. And what we mean by that is they're going to have gates all over the place and have basically turned the park into a so-called free speech zone.
This is FDR Park.
Yeah. I mean, whenever you start regulating where people can say something, then you really get into trouble. But I just want to say, in the 30 years here in Philadelphia, I have four boxes of unlawful arrest. I have 200 arrests. I did 6 months daily reporting probation for obstructing the view of the Liberty Bell. I did almost went to prison for 22 years for bringing 200 people in front of the Constitution Center. They, for years, have been doing the stop and frisk. That's the same thing that they're proposing. That's the so-called decriminalization process, which is I could just go down the street. I can pick you up, Sherry. I can make you disappear. And then whenever I feel like it, I can let you back out and give you a ticket, give you no judge, no jury, and no lawsuit for holding me and giving me illegal charges.
Do you think this is what's going to happen?
That's exactly what's going to happen.
You guaranteed this is what is going
guaranteed,
to happen.
Guaranteed. If not, I mean, I'm really looking forward to setting up Clintonville. I'm very much looking forward to...
Like a Hooverville?
Yeah, like the Hoovervilles. And, you know, I heard Kenny himself. He said he's not going to arrest me. So I'm looking forward to being able to do the things that I need to do in Philadelphia.
And what is that? In terms of what you want to do when the Democrats are in town?
Well, I mean, they announced giving a permit extension for people to get drunk. I think it's going to be great that the city is just going to let homeless people erect a tent city and be able to sleep wherever it is that we need to sleep.
Where do you think that'll be? Near the convention center?
No, we're going to have a Clintonville in Kensington for people that are already living there. And so we also intend to have a fart in. We're going
to
have
everybody.
We're going to feed everybody. We're inviting Bernie Sanders delegates and Dr. Jill Stein and everybody else. And we're going to eat lots of beans. And then we're going to show the entire, not just country, but world, what we think about this entire process, that it totally stinks. So we're organizing the largest national fart in. So we have delegates that are on the inside, and if they're not afraid or accosted beforehand, they intend to lead a walkout from the convention floor if it continues to be stinky inside.
Yanni, let me turn back to you and even turn back to something that Bernie Sanders said when he endorsed Hillary Clinton, saying that this candidate will this election is about which candidate will nominate a Supreme Court justice, talking about Citizens United, a woman's right to choose, the rights of LGBT community, workers' rights, needs of minorities, immigrants. He also talked about the campaign moving the U.S. towards universal health care, saying that Clinton wants to see that. Are you saying that Bernie, and you are the spokesperson for Bernie or Bust, that he's sort of drunken the Kool-Aid of the Democratic Party? He did run as a Democrat. He didn't run as a third party candidate. He did run as a Democrat.
Right. So, you know, and this goes back a little bit to what I was saying before. I mean, I know, you know, it's when I talked about the potential of threat. Right. You know, there's the reality that we live in a country where people don't trust the government. So it may seem very tin hat-ish to say, oh, that, you know, Bernie may have been threatened. But the reality is that we don't put anything past our government at this point because we don't trust it. So it may be extreme, you know, a lot of people, you know, me, and I say we, I'm just talking about people and other people like myself, you know, we don't trust the government, and we believe that all kinds of things are possible. At the same time, what I think is very clear is that because Bernie ran in the Democratic Party, that he's subject to the rules and the requirements of the Democratic Party. And it was, I think it was a good choice because, a lot of the message that, that so many people heard, they wouldn't have heard it. It was amplified because of the fact that he was a Democratic nominee. They wouldn't have heard it if he was an independent because nobody would have been paying attention to those candidates during the primary season. So it was really, important for him. And now that we're getting so close to the convention, the rules of the convention are overshadowing his individual ability to make choices, like the endorsement of Hillary Clinton. From what I understand, for him to be able to bring in his delegates and continue to participate in the platform process and to continue to have a central speaking role, he had to, as a Democratic candidate, endorse the front runner. And so, you know, that's what I feel like is happening right now. We really won't know where Bernie's standing and what his position is around the general election fully until this primary process is finished.
Sherry, he has said numerous times that the goal of this election is to prevent Donald Trump from becoming president of the United States. Do you support that perspective?
Well, with 2.2 million predominantly African Americans that the Clintons helped because of their racist policies continue to support mass incarceration in this country.
Although she has said that was a mistake and she would not continue that policy. I'm just saying.
Well, you know, when a lot of police officers have taken the stand and I've almost faced 22 years in jail, I think that's where you draw the line and get a little subjective. And I'm sure all of those families that are incarcerated right now, oops is not enough.
Right.
And so this is not just about Trump. I think he's the evil enemy that's easy to fight. I think that he's a distraction. I think we have two reality show characters that are running for political office. I mean, really what we're talking about is, you know, massive corporations behind the both of them, and they're both crooks. And we have to get serious. We have to grow up like the rest of the world. Finland has 15 political parties. When are we going to have a third or a fourth real political party in this country?
And there are. I mean, they absolutely do not get the kind of attention that the Republicans and the Democrats get.
They don't get the kind of access. They get blocked access. You know, the amount of work that you have to do in order to just be able to get on a national ballot is ridiculous. You know, I mean, if there are enough people, I mean, the Green Party has hundreds of thousands of people who are registered in that party, and that's not, that in and of itself is not sufficient for them to be able to have access to the ballot. You know, if you can't have ballot access, then you don't really have multiple, you have establishment parties and then you have the rest. And that's what our situation is. And then people don't believe in the ability for themselves to really vote for one of these parties because their messaging is consistently that all you're going to be doing is taking away votes from whoever you think is the stronger establishment party candidate.
Do you believe, and I've heard this said by some Bernie Sanders supporters, which is a Donald Trump president or presidency would bring about the kind of revolution that Bernie Sanders talked about when he was campaigning for president. Sherry, is that your perspective?
Either we're going to have a third, fourth, fifth, 15th political party in this country, or where I'm going to put my energy is in helping to create the next American Spring. The people I love and that I work with are not surviving, and they're not going to survive Pepsi and Coke, and neither is the planet. So we can continue to think that we're going to be fine. We're not. We're going to go to war. People are going to die. Or our very planet, as a result of the climate crisis, the continued police violence, mass incarceration. I read a book the other day about, you know, that people are living on, you know, less 60 million people living on less than $2 a day. I can take you to Kensington right now and show you dozens of single males that are going weeks without a dollar. The hell with the day without a dollar, weeks without a dollar. And if it wasn't for us growing food and feeding people, I don't know what they would be doing. And at the same time, you can go down to the food bank and there's barbed wire around it. Something is wrong. It's not a scarcity in this country. It's greed. That's it.
Well, and Philadelphia is a perfect example of the problems of poverty, the intractable problems of poverty. The of the top 10 cities, this is the one with the most poverty, that should be said. But let me just pick up on, and I'll get you back in on the conversation, Jody, on things like climate change. And you mentioned that, Sherry. Donald Trump thinks climate change is a hoax. He thinks it's a hoax. Coke and Pepsi?
Yeah. they're both Coke and Pepsi, because at the end of the day, Hillary is going to take her money or make her decisions around fracking, around polluting the earth, all of those kinds of things, because the bottom line is dollars and staying in office. And that's what the Clintons' track record shows. So, yes, if you want clean water, it's not going to come from Hillary, and it's not going to come from Trump.
Yeah. You want to say something, Annie?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's the things, like a lot of people are paying attention to the things that Donald Trump is saying, right? So Donald Trump's saying a lot of horrible things that, you know, I definitely do not agree with. But what he's speaking are the policies and the actions that the Clintons have been actually behaving out. So, you know, Hillary Clinton can say that she's against, for instance, the TPP right now, but, you know, she also said that she was against the Colombia Free Trade Agreement. She can say that she wants to make the climate, you know, emergency a priority, but her actions have shown that she doesn't care about that. She has sold fracking all over the world. And, you know, and we can tell, we know that that's not it doesn't help the situation any better, that the methane that goes into the climate is creating the global, is exacerbating the climate urgency. And that doesn't change her actions, because whatever someone is paying her to do, to Sherry's point, is what she's going to do, even if it's going to destroy the planet. So Donald Trump is saying something crazy.
But she's not talking about deporting illegal immigrants. She's not closing the border to Muslims. I understand
but
why
she's
people
bombing
might be-
Muslims across the Middle Eastern region, and I have Muslim people who contact me from across the world and in this country, and they say they fear Hillary Clinton more than they feel than they fear Donald Trump, because while Donald Trump might keep them out, he has yet to be bombing them. She has already.
But that's President Obama.
Well, it's President Obama as well, but you know what?
They're all a part of the same gang.
They're working together. He's her boss, and so I don't disregard. But he's not the candidate right now. So we're talking about the candidates that are running for office. And Hillary Clinton has, you know, she has worked to, and she has expressed her interest that she's intent on getting out of Iran. She wants Iran out. She has expressed that so clearly. She wants to this no-fly zone over Syria. The desire to.
She wants to bomb Iran?
She wants Iran's control, that power that Iran has. And
I don't think she's ever said that.
She has gone after Syria in order to get Syria involved in getting rid of Iran. She has also said that she would bomb Iran, obliterate Iran, if Iran made any moves against Israel. She did say that. And she said that she would arm Israel to further fight against the Palestinians and against Muslim forces. She also said that. And so, you know, she's antagonizing the Muslim communities and encouraging continued oppression of those Muslim communities through her policies.
Well, we have to take another short break. And Jody, I'm going to get back to you after the break. And we got a lot of people that want to join the conversation. Talking with two activists here in Philadelphia who will be very involved protesting the Democratic National Convention, which is just a week or two away here in Philadelphia. We wanted to hear from them why they oppose Hillary Clinton, their disappointment, it sounds like, in Bernie Sanders, and what they hope to accomplish when they are protesting the DNC. Jody Dodd joining us by telephone, legal support activists with Up Against the Law Legal Collective, working to tell protesters what their rights are. Also, Yane Indigo, she is spokesperson for Bernie or Bust, and Sherry Honkala, national coordinator for the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign. You can call us 1-888-477-9499, send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane. Jody, let me go back to you. And for those people that are planning on protesting in Philadelphia, my understanding is the city is expecting thousands of people to do that. What do you suggest they know before it starts on July 25th?
Well, I think what I want them to know are, first off, that they absolutely have the right to protest. And I would want people who want to come and redress grievances, as it's, you know, the political term of that, to feel that they should have the access to do that. I know Up Against the Law has been contacted by a variety of groups, climate change activists, immigrant rights activists. We've been working with the Coalition for Real Justice and Black Lives Matter in Philadelphia, who are also planning events beyond the Bernie folks and the Poor People's Human Rights Economic Campaign, their marches. So we're expecting folks to come in. We want people to know that if they are arrested or detained, that we are going to be running a hotline 24 hours, and they should call the hotline number, and we will do what we can to assist them, and that there is a team of criminal defense, civil rights attorneys who are prepared to represent people in the event that they're arrested. And so, you know, what we are doing is to try to be there, to be in support. We would encourage people who witness what they believe as police misconduct to contact our office or to contact the hotline as well, because we will be there to assist folks in the event that they have that experience.
Sure. And what's the hotline number, Jody?
484 758-0388.
0388. And Yanni wanted to, me to correct myself or have her correct me in that she is not disappointed in Bernie Sanders. Go ahead. And then I do want to get a bunch of people to join the conversation.
Yeah, I really appreciate what Bernie has done. I mean, Bernie is one person. He's one man. And as he's consistently said, it's not about him. It's about all of us. And what Bernie has done is enabled so many people who are ready to fight forward, to find each other, and be able to actually move the world in the direction that it needs to go in. The United States impacts the entire world in a very extreme way. And what we do here, everyone is paying attention to it. And our voices are much more amplified because of what Bernie Sanders did. So whatever he does from this point on does not change what he's done up to this point. And I completely appreciate the work that he's done, the effort that he's put forth, and the light that he has shined on the corruption in this system.
Let me read a statement from Hillary Clinton. This was on Good Morning America. Going back to 2008, she says, in the next 10 years during which they might foolishly consider launching an attack on Israel, we would totally be able to obliterate them. She was talking about Iran. Just putting comment into some context. Let me get Robert from Avondale to join us. Robert, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I think, I agree a lot with a lot of what the commentators you have on there have said. But on the other hand, you have to look at the situation that we are facing coming up in the next election. We have Donald Trump, a candidate who I've never seen anybody like him, anybody as narcissistic. I think back to, I read The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich many, many years ago. The Nationalist Party thought that they could control Hitler. They couldn't. I think about the Supreme Court decisions that have been made over the years with this conservative Supreme Court, like Citizens United, which, turns corporations into individuals with the right, which to me is the worst decision since Dred Scott.
Well, you know what, Robert? Let me just jump in here because I appreciate your comments, and I want to put them to Sherry Honkla. And actually, Bernie Sanders said the same thing, which is that there are Supreme Court openings that are probably on the line. Our caller, Robert, is concerned with a President Trump who would nominate someone to sit on the Supreme Court. Do you share that?
Well, I mean, for folks that are in frontline communities across the country, it's kind of like discussing apples and apples because the gaping wound is right now. For independent politics to start in this country, it has to start and has to start somewhere. And no, Trump is not going to get into office unless the Democrats do a horrible job ensuring their base. Hillary will probably become the next president of our country. We cannot go forward and allow this gaping wound that's growing, this cancer in our country of not giving birth to an independent political party.
Robert, thanks for the call. Let me read some comments. One from Susan. The guests are making unsubstantiated claims about the Democratic Party in the election process. Tweet from Marsha. Gangsterish for true, but that's always been the case. Political compromises have been and have always been made, too. A tweet from DeNova. System imperfect, but the only one we got. Don't let the perfect kill the good. Make the best of it. Let me get Rick from Warminster to join our conversation. Hi, Rick. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times. Do we have Rick?
From all your participants, it just seems to me that we have a lot of voices, we have a lot of demonstrators, we have a lot of folks expressing themselves, but why is it that we remain at 40% when we have actual people show up at the ballot box on November 8th?
You're talking about the fact that people speak out but they don't go vote? Is that what you're saying, Rick?
You got it. Absolutely.
Do you share that, Yanni?
A lot of people don't vote because it doesn't you know, because of exactly what Sherry is talking about, because it doesn't really seem to matter at the end, whichever candidate wins, people are still going through all of the same things. I mean, you know, people talk about how the economy has stabilized or gotten better. I live in the city of Philadelphia. What I see is a whole lot of people who don't have jobs. I see a whole lot of people who go without eating, including myself. I don't eat the way that I should all the time. Actually, most of the time, because of, you know, the financial reality in which I live as an individual who has a huge amount of skills and a master's degree. You know, I still struggle, and there are people who don't have all of those particular kinds of resources. And what are they supposed to do? I mean, we live in a world where a black man with no criminal record has less of a chance of securing a job than a white man with a criminal record. I mean, there's no equality. There's lack of access to opportunity. Our schools are going in the toilet, and people are supposed to feel like their vote makes a difference. It doesn't. When the Republicans were in office and when the Democrats were in office, our schools have been plunging and these prisons have been getting built. And, you know, and Philadelphia is a completely Democratic city. And so, and we still have no public education. We don't have toilet paper in our schools, you know, for our children. There are no books. There are no music programs. And people are getting, you know, there was a young man in my neighborhood who got Tyree Carroll, who was kicked and beaten up by police officers. He was stopped riding, going the wrong way down a one-way street on a bicycle. I mean, so these are the realities that people are living with. And, you know, children are starving, and, you know, and you want people to be inspired to go out to the polls. It doesn't make sense. We need a system that actually enables the people who want to make a difference to get in office and then actually make a difference when they get there.
Sure, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is corrupt. I just want to invite people, come spend some time with me in Kensington, come with me on a reality tour. I live in a neighborhood where, you know, my ward leader, you know, was found guilty and bribed, you know, different city council members, came out of prison, and he's my ward leader again. You know, do we have to go through the names of Shaka Fatah? You know, we have some real problems with fraud, with elections, all of those kinds of things. And so I'm saying, you know, what are we afraid of? Why can't we have more of a democracy? Why can't we have other political parties? You know, in Philadelphia, we have two minority seats for city council. Why do they always have to go to, you know, a Republican? Why can't they go to a Green?
Fair question. Jody, let me get you back in on the conversation. And again, I'm getting to some of these practical things that protesters have to think about, but also that the city has to think about. They are hosting a convention. The mayor says, you know, he wants to allow for protests, for safe protests, for people to be able to speak their mind and criticize the Democrats. He's got to keep the city running for residents, for commuters, for non-convention visitors. What are your thoughts about just how the city can manage all these moving parts?
Well, what I would say is the city manages all these moving parts just fine when you have had parades for mummers, what unions have had mass demonstrations, for the teachers' union that's had mass demonstrations. So, you know,
the 4th of July.
Yeah, 4th of July. The city is uniquely set up in that we have so many one-way streets, and the city is very often having to redirect traffic, reroute traffic around closed streets for all kinds of reasons. So I don't think that is that's a problem. I don't think that's a problem. I think that, you know, my thoughts about when people have urgent cries for justice or for resources or for political redress. When you live in a democratic society, being inconvenienced should be taken into consideration. Like, people need to understand that it's important for folks to be able to address these issues, to be heard. And democracy is messy, and so it may be a little bit messy for a few days.
Inconvenience meaning things like traffic jams or traffic congestion?
Yeah, exactly. Traffic congestion should not be the criteria for shutting people down from being in the streets, because Philadelphia has accommodated that over and over and over again, planned and unplanned,
for a long time. They're quite good at it. So I don't see that that's an issue for, you know, the city's concerns about accommodation. I think that people in the streets that are protesting, that is accommodating democracy. That's important. That's a fundamental core premise of what our country is founded on. And I think it's important to recognize that and for the city to accommodate that.
Let me get some more callers in. We've got Paul from Northeast Philadelphia joining us on Radio Times. Hi, Paul. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, by the way, you can have a list of scheduled events the demonstrators are going to have, you know, what demonstrations are going to be going on with the city, a phone number listed. But also, are you going to send people to Cleveland to see what's going on demonstration-wise out there? Mm. In other words, because the Philadelphia police are sending people out there. Are you going to do something to counteract what they're going to try to do to us here?
Well, the idea of sending people, protesters perhaps, that are going to protest in Philly, send them to Cleveland to see what's going on, Sherry, is that a good idea?
Our movement, we have a national movement, the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign, sorry to say, is not just poor people in Philly. It's nationally. And so the big march that's organized on opening day of the Republican National Convention is organized by us, and we will be addressing the issues of Trump. I hope to get out of jail in time and get back home.
Are you expecting him being arrested?
Usually before every large event, I'm at least arrested once. I have human rights defender status now. Because of the amount of unlawful arrest.
So the idea you could be walking down the street and get arrested?
I could because be you're walking down the street and, you know, that's the closest that I can get to feeling what it is to be a black man driving in America is if you're talking about issues in this country and you do it consistently, that's pretty much what happens these days.
And it is. I mean, it's during the Black Lives Matter protests, you know, that DeRay was arrested because he's, you know, a highly visible activist. When I was in L.A. During the election time, right up before the election, there was arrest and conviction of I don't know why I'm blanking on her name at this moment. Jasmine Robinson, who was a Black Lives Matter activist, and she interfered with a police harassment, and they realized who she was. And she did this interfering because you see, like with the example of Alton Sterling, with the example of Philando Castile, which has happened just recently, this is what happens. You know, this is what you feel is could be the danger of watching someone interact with the police. And when they realized who she was, they went 4 days later, arrested her, and they charged her with lynching. She was convicted of lynching and then, you know, had to go through a sentencing process, you know, because of that. That's intimidation. You take a black woman who was trying to protect someone from police harassment and you charged them with lynching of all things. Those are intimidation, you know, techniques.
Let me just jump in here. And Jody, I have an email from Chip for you. He says, what can the guests share with me and other downtown workers that will prevent us from being annoyed with them when they block my way home?
Well, I think that you just need to plan in advance. And as far as being annoyed, I would encourage you to, again, remember that people are there to express their democratic right to their beliefs. And if you are a believer in democracy, have a little patience.
And Sherry, what would be, you've done this before. As I said, you did this in 2000. We talked about it back then. This is now 2016. What would be success? I mean, do you even think in those terms?
Oh, absolutely. I think we're already winning because the massive amounts of people I know that are supporting independent politics today. I know that as soon as Bernie announced supporting Clinton, that the Green Party, you know, broke the bank. In terms of the Jill Stein for President campaign. And I know that she's going to have a massive power rally here at 5 or 6 o'clock right across the street from the Democratic National Convention. So I think that we, you know, the sleeping giant has already woken up And it's alive, and it's walking down the street, and you can't stop it now.
Well, we have to end on that note. My thanks to all three of
thank you.
You.
I just wanted to say it's Jasmine Richards.
Jasmine Richards, yes. Fair enough. Sherry Honkala, National Coordinator for the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign, thank you for joining us. Yana Indigo, Spokesperson for Bernie or Bust and the D.C. to DNC March. And Jody Dodd, Legal Support Activist with Up Against the Law Legal Collective, talking about preparing for the Democratic Convention here in Philadelphia and preparing for protesting that convention. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes and you can find out much more about the program. I'm Marty Moscoen, and do stay with us for hour two. Much more to talk about, another very important issue as well. Stay with us. We'll be right back.